as you find it in the Scriptures. Of course, we know that Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, they say you're a lot of different people." And he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, upon that foundation, he was going to build his church. Upon the foundation of truth that he was not just a man, like every other man, but he was in fact the Word of God made flesh, the Son of God. He was going to build his church. And the word there is the word ecclesia, the called out. So we know he's not talking about a structure. He's talking about an organization of people who are called out of their normal way of life and into a relationship with him and with one another. But the word church, as we find it in Scripture, has many different uses. It refers to the universal body of the saved, and the first place we find that is in a place where the word church in the original language is not really there. This word is not ecclesia in Acts 2 and verse 47, where it says, "The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved." The Greek word here is the word autos, which is actually a pronoun. It's a, you might say, a generic pronoun. The meaning of the word depends upon who is being referred to in the context. In the context, we're talking about those who are being saved. And so, literally it says, "The Lord added to them those that were being saved." Those who had been saved on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000 souls, and then those who continued to obey the gospel every day, the Lord added to them. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, we're told that Christ is the head of the body, which is his church. So we recognize that he's talking about a universal body. The Lord added to them the saved, and he is the head of the church, the ecclesia, this body of the saved. You'll find that it's used that way in Ephesians chapter 5, where he shows the similarity of the relationship between Christ and the church as being that of a marriage relationship. And there the word church is being used in regards to the universal body, all of the saved. Well, we also find that the word church is used in reference to a local body of the saved. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we see that great persecution against the church that was at Jerusalem. Of course, that's where the church was. At the time that, at this point in history, that's the only place the church was in Jerusalem. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 8, the events that we're seeing taking place there are events that take place in Jerusalem among the church. Nevertheless, we find that he is specifying here the church, the ecclesia, that called out group of people that was currently located at Jerusalem. In chapter 11 of Acts, in verses 19 through 22, as well as verse 26, we find reference to the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas to join up with Paul. And combined work of Paul and Barnabas took place at the church at Antioch. And so here we're seeing the word church, ecclesia, referring to that local body. Chapter 13 of Acts, in the first three verses, that very same church, we might say congregation, but that very same local church is that which sent Paul and Barnabas out on what sometimes is commonly referred to as the first missionary journey. The Holy Spirit called for them to be sent, and they called the church together. They laid their hands on them and gave them their blessings and sent them on their way. But we also see that the word church, the ecclesia, refers to individual members of the body of the saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 31 through 33, we're told that we're not to offend the Jews or the Gentiles or the church. As a Christian, as a teacher, as one who is teaching others about salvation, we want to do so in a way that is not offensive. The gospel is offensive enough on its own terms. It's interesting. Do you read the? There's a big magazine that's put out every month, Soky, S-O-K-Y, that magazine. I was contacted by them a couple of weeks ago, and they wanted me to write an article for their faith page, and it could be about anything that I wanted it to be about, but it's not supposed to be controversial. And I had it on speakerphone at the time, and Wendy was sitting across the living room from me, and I kind of looked at her and kind of smiled, and she looked at me and said, how do you do that? Because anytime you're talking about faith, it's going to be controversial to somebody. But anyway, I wrote the article, and they liked it, and it's supposed to be out in February. So if you're out and you see that, you might want to pick it up. It's about the scriptures and how that we can depend on the scriptures and how there's a lot of evidence that shows that the scriptures are from God and we should put our faith in them. But that article wasn't written to be offensive. It was written to call people out of the world and into a relationship with God and Christ and all of those who have accepted the gospel. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians and verse 22, notice it says we're not to despise the church of God and shame them that have not. Obviously, he's talking about individual members of the Church of Christ who are less fortunate financially. We're not to look down upon them or shame them, but we are to help them in whatever way we can, of course, benevolently. Notice the pronoun them. So he's not talking about despising the Church of God being at a local area or the Church of God universally. It's talking about the Church of God individually, them, and in particularly them that are less fortunate. It also refers to the assembly of a local congregation. You might say, well, isn't that the same as what you saw up there and refers to the local body of the saved? No, when we're talking about the church at Jerusalem, the church at Antioch, we're talking about a location. But we also see that the church assembly assembles. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, it says, when you come together in the church, there are certain things that you do. Everyone has a song, everyone has a prayer, take the Lord's Supper. Those are things that you do when you come together in the church. And an assembly of those who are called out of the world, called out of their sin, and into a relationship with God. Sometimes the word church is used to include the universal, local, and individual. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, it talks about, Paul said, I persecuted the church. Well, who did he persecute? Well, he persecuted individual Christians. He persecuted Christians in various locations, and he persecuted the church universally. And so we can see that It can be used in reference to all. Ephesians 3 and verse 10, very significant passage for us. He says, the manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. We talked about the word manifold many times. You've got on your automobile engine, you've got an intake manifold, and you've got an exhaust manifold. And they're attached directly to the engine. And so air needs to go into the engine and air needs to go out of the engine. And somebody said, you know, making power in an engine is all about how much air you can get into the engine and how dense the air is and all that type of stuff. But the air doesn't come in just one big hole at the top of the engine. You'll notice there's a manifold up there, and it goes to each different cylinder. And then from each cylinder, air goes out into a manifold that collects and into an exhaust pipe and out. Sometimes you have two. I've got an interesting vehicle. I thought I had dual exhaust on my car that I'm currently driving. Got underneath there once, and there's one exhaust pipe comes back from the exhaust manifold, comes back, and then it splits and goes. I said, well, that's a waste of money right there. I only need one muffler, not two. But anyway, so you might say I have two exhaust manifolds, one at the beginning and one at the end. But the wisdom of God is made known to us in various different ways, and we touched on it in our adult Bible class this morning, didn't we? When we were looking at that passage there in the latter part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it talks about the importance of the Scripture, and it's in the Scripture that the righteousness of God is revealed and made known, and yet that righteousness, that revelation of righteousness, it doesn't do anybody any good until what's in here is here and is demonstrated in our life. And then it's completed, you see. Then it's as God would have it to be. It's seen and heard. And so the manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church. What church? The universal church, the local church, the individual church. Yes, yes. But it comes down to really individuals, doesn't it? Individuals who have committed their life to Christ and have also committed their lives to one another. That's why we talk about church membership, congregational membership, that we have a membership. I'm a member of the Southside Church of Christ. And the Southside Church of Christ practices the same doctrine as the Universal Church of Christ. Hopefully, we all practice the same doctrine, teach the same thing. You wouldn't notice a difference between what we teach and what we practice. But the fact of the matter is that it's not just an organizational type of thing. It's individual members who have committed their lives individually to Christ, and we've made a decision to commit our lives to one another as well as unto God. That demonstration of faith that we each practice is a revelation, if you will, a demonstration of the faith that is in Christ Jesus, the manifold wisdom of God. The church, the saved. The blessed gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. Where sin has gone, must go his grace. the gospel is for all. And aren't you thankful that the grace of God revealed in the Word of God touched your heart and you've committed your life to Christ? That you have been called out of your sin and out of your world and into a relationship with God and the faithful. But we as the faithful, we the church, we the called out, we them who are saved, must take this gospel to all. Yes, the word church refers to the universal body of the saved. Are you the church? Most of us here would say, yes, I am. I am a member of the body of Christ, the body of the saved. I am a member of the exact same body that those in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 is talking about. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. He continues to do so, and I have been saved. I have heard the blessed gospel of Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I have turned from my sins to practice the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel of Christ, the Scriptures. I've confessed Him as the Son of God. I've been baptized for the remission of my sins. I continue to live a life that is in keeping with what His Word teaches. As Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've done that. Have you? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sin? Are you here today and you believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you haven't turned from your sin? Then you're not the church. You're not the saved. Are you here today and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you've made a decision in your life to, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to turn to God. But you haven't confessed Him as the Son of God? Then you're not a member of the body of the saved. Are you here today and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You've made a decision not to sin anymore? That you want to live a life that would be pleasing to God? That's called repentance. You've told others that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins? Then you're not a member of the body of the saved. You're not saved. I don't understand that. Do you understand that? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you've made the decision to turn from your way of life to His way of righteousness, to live to His praise and His glory. You're ready to confess Him before this group as the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. Why not be baptized for the remission of your sins? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, will be added to the body of the saved. Christ will be the head of your life from this day forward. That's a good thing, to live with that hope of eternal life. If you're here today and you're a child of God, but you realize you're not in the favor of God because of sin that you've practiced, you need to make things right with God. You need to make things right with the church. You need to make things right with yourself. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?